This is the Saxo Market Call, the daily financial markets podcast, across asset classes and around the world.
Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call on Tuesday, the 20th of June, 2023. And Ole and John left the building for client events. So, Althea, it's only you and me today. And we're coming online after a US holiday yesterday. And I think the attention and focus today is actually on Chinese equities, because we had the People's Bank of China disappointing the market with only a 10 basis point cut to the five-year key benchmark rate, and the market was looking for a 15 basis cut move. So you can see here on slide two, the Hang Seng continuous future extending the sell-off, second straight session, basically wiping out the gains. You could really see that the market had been anticipating, you know, more stimulus coming from China. It really has been the bet over the past couple of weeks. And so we're coming back with a little bit, hopefully a little bit more energy. The markets are extremely quiet, but across markets, we have seen quite a shift in sentiment for you know, markets heading a little bit lower. So that's the focus today. And as you can see on slide three, I mean, I have created this basket with Chinese equities, where against the other key markets, and you can see how the expectations were coming higher into the event, but then that really been faded the last two days. And if you look at it in the longer perspective over the past couple of years on that chart, you can see how Chinese equities actually throughout a pretty sustained period now have been doing worse than these countries that we believe are the winner countries. So yeah, you can see that down on the in the little asterisks there, you know, Mexico, South Korea, Vietnam, Indonesia, Malaysia, etc., India, those countries, those are the ones that we are benchmarking up against the Chinese equity market. So that's the key focus today. But otherwise, Althea, what's going on in the fixed income market?
What's not going on, Peter? So basically, yesterday we had quite a drastic sell-off in gilts. We saw yields soaring across maturity, and the front part of the yield curve was the most vulnerable, as the market was pricing 150 basis point rate hike by the Bank of England by February next year. I'm going to take you on slide number five. And as you can see there, there is the 2 year yields. They broke above 5%, which was a very strong resistance. Actually, in last September, we saw that as yields were trying to approach that 5%, we had pension fund crisis in the UK. The big problem here, Peter, is that once now that they have broken about 5%, they have the potential to rise up to 5.55%, which is the highest that we have seen during the 2008 global financial crisis. So what can propel yields higher? Well, today the DMO is selling 5 year gilts. They are new gilts. And the size, it's quite small. It's just 3 billion or almost 4 billion worth of gilts. But they are new. And what's interesting is that they are going to pay a coupon of 4.5% versus the 1.58% that the current 5 year gilts are paying. So definitely investors that want to scoop that high yield, well, that high coupon will be participating in this auction. But if there is not demand, because investors anticipate inflation to remain rampant and the Bank of England not to have the situation under control, it can propel yields higher. But it's an intense week of events in the UK, because tomorrow morning we have the CPI, UK CPI numbers coming out. If they surprise on the downside, they can definitely put pressure, downward pressure on yields. And then we have the Bank of England on Thursday. Overall, Peter, I expect yields, especially the 2 year gilts yields, to remain pinned around 5%, maybe lower. But realistically, if the terminal rate of the Bank of England is not 6%, it has to be somewhere around 5% or 5.5%. So I believe that those 2 year yields will remain around that level for a little bit longer.
It's a very fascinating situation and what's developing here in England, but also, you know, elsewhere. We have Bank of England here being extremely, or priced to be very aggressive, and then at the same time we're looking at Bank of Japan that is still, you know, clinging to their very low policy rate there. And I think that when you look across the landscape, there's a lot of commentators on the market that are, you know, highlighting this fact that you're seeing the producer price indices coming down across the globe. Delivery times and bottlenecks in the global supply chains are easing, and they basically, you know, shaping this narrative. Okay, so inflation is already a done deal. The PPIs are pointing towards that inflation problems will be resolved very quickly. But the problem is with that thinking. This is my hypothesis, is that it's just focusing on the goods that are sold in the economy. I think it's a very simplistic way of looking at it, because we have this wage dynamic growing, and you're seeing the inflation being quite high in the services. So I think a lot of commentators are missing the whole point. But also, you know, the whole fragmentation game that we talked about in our previous quarterly outlook is just setting up an investment boom both in Europe and the US, because we are shoring back a lot more manufacturing. I think there are a lot of things structurally going on in the economy that will show its ugly face when it comes to inflation. But Althea, what's next on the menu when we talk about fixed income today?
Yes, Peter, before going there, I want just to add that the big problem here is that there is still accommodative fiscal policies. One of the themes in the UK still is that the government might intervene to support mortgages holders, because yesterday we have seen the mortgage rate rising above 6%. So until the governments, not only in the UK but worldwide, continue with these accommodative fiscal policies, the only choice for central bankers is to be more and more aggressive. And that's the big divergence that we see in policies overall. Moving forward and abandoning, well, I'm going to take you very fast on slide number 6 that shows the 2 year UK swap spread, which remains elevated. And what does that mean is that 2 year yields have still a lot of room to rise. And that's why we believe that would remain supported around the 5% level or even rise further up.
Maybe, but just very quickly, Althea, can you, not for some of our listeners that are not familiar with the language, the more, you know, complicated language in fixed income, can you just quickly explain what is a 2 year UK swap? So what is that? What is the spread? What is it measuring?
So a swap spread is the difference between, in this case, the 2 year swap and the 2 year UK government bond yield. And what that spread shows is that, well, the swap rate shows what's the expectations of the market concerning rates in 2 years' times. And obviously, like the 2 year government yields, it's basically the cash market, what they are expecting also in 2 years' times, but in a cash point of view. So when there is a divergence, as we see on slide number 6, it means that one of the two forecasts is wrong. So let's say that the 2 year UK swap rate is right, that inflation is not gonna fall where the Bank of England wants in 2 years' times, then it means that the 2 year yields have to rise further up. And my belief is that at this point of time, we definitely see sticky inflation in the UK, and the 2 year swap rate is right compared to the 2 year government yields. And that's why gilts have to tumble further, yields have to move higher in order to close in that gap.
All right. Thanks for that excellent explanation. Let's go on to the European fixed income market.
Yes, so I'm going to take you on slide number 7 because gilts are not only the ones that are selling off, but we have seen also last week US Treasuries are selling off, and we commented on that yesterday, and also the European market continue to sell off. And we have seen a move higher in the front part of the European sovereign curve that has been substantial. 2 years Schatz yields have broken above 3% and they moved higher to test resistance at 3.13%. And as you can see on slide number 7, I'm going to take again the 2 years German swap spread. As you can see, that spread has been tightening, meaning that now the cash market, so the 2 years Schatz, have caught up with the expectations in the swap market, and there might not be more room for yields in this part of the yield curve to continue to rise. But today, Peter, we have a 2 years Schatz auction. I will be monitoring to see if there is any kind of weakness that might push the yields towards 3.25%. And tomorrow we have a 30-year auction, which is very important on long part of the yield curve.
All right. Let's move back to the equity market a little bit. we do see a little bit of a low energy across most of the markets, except for LTS. Excellent run through here in the fixed income market. But if we go to slide 4, the earnings watch, it's a very light calendar. We are in the month of June, so the second quarter will end in 10 days from now, and then we'll roll over, and a couple of weeks from after that point, we'll begin to see the Q2 earnings releases. But in the meantime, we have a lot of these companies that are not following the calendar year per se. So FedEx reporting today after the US market closed, their fiscal year 2023 actually ended in May. So they will be reporting their full annual report. And as you can see, the expectations are not widely high. And even if you look at the revenue estimates for the fiscal year 2024 that will end in May next year, you can see here on that little insert I've put in here on slide 4 that they are actually down 9.5%. So it's a combination both of you know, a volume mix change, but it's also, you know, prices coming down generally on logistics. So remembering back during the heydays of the pandemic with a lot of bottlenecks in the economy, we had elevated logistics prices across a lot of different variety of services, and that obviously benefited a lot of these logistics companies. And now there's a little bit of a hangover from those party days. But we'll be listening into FedEx report because it is a global logistics firm, and I think it provides a very good gauge on the global temperature in the global economy. Fast forward to slide 8, the macro calendar today. Altea put in a couple of items there to watch, as you just discussed on some of these auctions here in Europe. 12:30 we'll get from the macro point of view, the most important figures coming out, the US May housing start and building permits. Those two figures are not going to rock the boat, a lot to say the least. They're expected to be very robust and more or less unchanged from the month of April. And I think actually that's a comment I wanted to actually add to when Altea talked about the mortgage rate. I think this is one of the things that really got the RBA and the Central Bank in Canada to move around, because what we have seen, and the same goes for the US, that there was this interest rate shock in 2022, and mortgage rates are around 6% in the US. But it seems like the US consumer, and we see the same signs here in Denmark, that, you know, the consumer is just adjusting to these new high interest rates. And then what will happen over time if they remain up here? Then over time, as the nominal wages are increasing, it'll be easier and easier to absorb these new interest rate levels. So it might not be that catastrophic overall for the housing market, and at least that's the turnaround you saw in Canada and Australia, and got those two central banks to move around. If we look ahead, as Altea mentioned, tomorrow we have that important UK May CPI. We also have the Japanese May CPI index on Friday. And I think that's going to be crucial because, as we talked about, we have the Japanese Central Bank, Bank of Japan, really still being one of those banks that are central banks that are really reluctant to go aggressive on the interest rates. Very odd divergence, to say the least, against the rest of the world. And Bank of Japan will hold its interest rate decision meeting on the 28th of July, which you can see as well there on the calendar. All right, I think that's a wrap for today. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back same time and place tomorrow.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter at Saxo Market Call or by email marketcall@saxobank.com.